This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
A really interesting witness they brought up with this was this Dr. Walla, who was the psychologist that was the prison psychologist that was handling, Richard Allen and his issues. And, you know, he had made confessions to her, you know, again, I killed the girls and, you know, and it's like, and she's going through this whole concept of that she had died, like during this period of time when he's losing his shit and literally eating his shit, running into the, like the cell wall, like full speed, smashing his head, like over and over. And like he was,
yeah.
She diagnoses him as temporary, like temporary psychosis. Mm-hmm. And he falls under this kind of umbrella of, I'm on today's motion.
You're on right? Today's. Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's all. Aborted.
Oh, I know. I know.
So she's saying, had I had the autonomy to be able to put him in a mental hospital to get the proper treatment he needed, mm-hmm. that's what I would have done for exactly what you were saying. Just to get him the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Just get him into a place where it's more humanity around him. There's people that he's going to be able to speak to. He's going to have some kind of human contact, you know, just to get him right again. But she's like, I couldn't because he's under this safekeeping order. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that in that unit that he's in, this like there's 255, they call it a prison within a prison. It's like super lockdown. It's for people that are hyper violent that have fucked up some other place, or
yeah,
you know, for guys that are suicidal. Like he's got a camera on him 24/7, like all the time in his cell. So they're like, okay, well, you know, she says I definitely would have moved him to another facility, but the problem is he's got that safekeeping order. And despite the fact that the rules are like per the DOC that after 30 days is considered to be the threshold that you cannot keep somebody safely mentally in lockdown in solitary for 30 plus days, mm-hmm. unless there's extenuating circumstances. Like the dude is like a raging
like Hannibal Lecter or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so for like everybody else, you got to go out. But the problem is this order of safekeeping order is trumping that rule. Mm-hmm. So the end result is they wouldn't move him out. They just kept him in solitary for all this time. So basically the argument is that that all of those factors have been so coercive that it does that is an act by the state. Cause like typically you need a state actor who's saying, okay, you know, yeah, man, we interrogated the shit out of this guy for 72 hours straight, didn't let him sleep, mm-hmm. you know, like we kept the lights on, we're just harassing the shit out of him, and we finally broke him. Like, this isn't that. This is like the environment that mm-hmm. they had him in broke him. And then he starts just making all these statements, yeah. you know, like out of nowhere, you know, but like leading up to it, he's professing and his innocence. And once he gets right, because they started giving him a tranquilizer. That's what they like. That's how they were treating him. They were tranking him. So by the end of it, by the time he gets to the new joint, like he's done confessing. Now he's professing his innocence again. And he's like, he has no recollection of confessing.
Yeah. You're tranking and torturing him basically and going, what he said during the trank and torture is totally valid, but we're going to ignore all these other things that we kind of fucked up on.
Right. So, but I mean, it got interesting, dude, because at the end of it, when the state called their witness, they put on this cop, and he's been the cop who has been really the guy who's been listening to the 100 plus hours of phone calls that Alan made from his tablet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he essentially comes out and says, look, you know, like I've counted, like my count, there's been 61 direct, what I'd consider to be direct confessions, most of them generic. I killed the girls. Mm-hmm. He's like, but he's claiming that he made that one of the confessions contains details that only the killer would know.
Okay.
Okay. And let's see, I want to get to them because there was like four different things. It was interesting.
It's like, even if you are the killer, you still can't treat somebody like this.
Oh, no, I know.
And that's like, the thing. That's the point.
My counter argument to that, to him, like, having knowledge is that he was dropped off the discovery case, meaning Alan was dropped the discovery in the case, like, on April 4th. So these things are after he has the discovery. So that kind of takes, like, the heat off of that. It's like, you want, like, once he has the discovery and he can see the details, what happened, because he's got the police reports, that takes the effectiveness of that. Like, where you're like, oh, shit, this guy, like, is confessing and only the killer would know this. Well, no, you gave him, he has the discovery, so that's how he could know the details. So it doesn't have quite the same bite.
No, it doesn't, not at all.
But he said, one of them included details only a person involved with crimes would know. And so the prosecutor asked him that question, and the cop said, I believe that's right. That was his answer to it. And then the confessions to his wife and his mother, you know, Kathy and his wife and his mother were obviously upset when he's confessing, and they're like, they're just messing with you. They're messing with your mind. And this is all through the same cop, you know, and then they're in disbelief and they're in shock. And when he keeps saying it during this 3-month period, you know, they're trying to change the subject. He claims that in one of them, he gives motivations for the crime as to why he committed it, why he delayed in confessing, like these are, but they're not telling us what he says.
Okay. That was going to be my next question.
Right. Like they're not telling us what the fuck he said, which is the only reason I sat in there for 12 hours.
Yeah.
I want to hear it. So ultimately he's the last witness. They wanted to end it with a bang. It's a problem. Like, they are going to be a problem for the defense. You know, anytime you've got a guy saying, I did some shit, because most people are like, I would never confess to anything I didn't do.
Yeah. Well,
you gotta walk a mile in a dude's
shoes. Is he still saying this? Is he, there was only in that 3-month period. Okay. So now he's kind of.
That's what I'm saying. That period of time he did it.
Yep.
And then now he's back to professing his innocence. He's got no recollection
of this.
Giving confession. So.
Which makes sense, honestly, from a psychological standpoint, it really does. But we know a lot of times our court system doesn't really take psychological factors into consideration where they really should be.
Exactly. And so that ended the day, and she's going to take that one under advisement as well. Again, it's such a novel argument. I don't see that getting granted.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that's going to be issues that are going to have to be brought up at trial. I mean, they're going to have to delve into this. They're going to have to show the conditions in which he was being held, and that he lost his shit, man.
Yeah.
You know? So tomorrow is the last day. It's going to be a big one. This is where the state is filed what's called a motion in limine, trying to exclude the defense from being able to use the third party culprit stuff. So that's your Brad Holder, Patrick Westfall, Elvis Fields. So tomorrow could be a banger. We could have some super interesting witnesses. So next week we should have some pretty interesting stuff to talk about.
My goodness. That. Yes. Yeah. It never fails to disappoint. I mean, it's finally, we haven't talked about this for several weeks, but here we are again, as it gets much, much closer. October is not far away, my friend. My goodness.
You got that right.
Are you ready to listen to this podcast ad-free?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel now on Apple Podcasts.
You'll instantly have access to all of our episodes labeled Advance Ad-Free. You'll hear the interviews before everyone else and with no interruption.
No interruptions.
Subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel now on Apple Podcasts.
And start binging now.